And reading now more words of challenge from the book of James, chapter 4. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something, and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scriptures say God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, the words of your servant James can be harsh sometimes. When Kim talked about taking offense, sometimes we take offense to words found in the Bible, to words that challenge us, to words that identify better than we can ourselves our shortcomings and our fears. Encourage us, O God, always to draw closer to you, that as we begin to live in the light of your love, that other things fall away and we become the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Just before vacation this year, I did a funeral as a favor, actually, for Ward Funeral Home in Toronto to service a family that I had never met who were in need of a minister. It was a last-minute call, so I didn't have much time to plan, and it was a family who really didn't have much to tell me about their loved one, so the service was short. It was actually very short. It was the shortest funeral I've ever done. It was too short. But every now and then, unfortunately, that happens. But one of the directors caught me afterwards, and he asked if my sermons were always that short as well. And that sparked a great conversation about church, about sermons, and about the whole faith thing. To make a long story short, he goes to a mega church not far away from us that shall remain nameless. And I was so happy, actually, to hear some of his reflections. The sermons there are way too long. The message is great, but only if you are new to the faith. The turnover of people is high because they do a great job of attracting people, but not keeping them, not growing them in the faith. And as for the fact that the parking lot and the sanctuary are packed every week, as he said, not me, as he said, if there was only one United Church in the whole area west of Toronto, it would be packed to overflowing too. Now, I'll tell you why that conversation absolutely delighted me. When we begin to worry, as most churches find themselves doing these days, about attendance and finances and whether or not we are viable moving toward the future, we start to panic. And when we panic, we look around us and we always think that other churches out there are doing better than us. Mega churches always get our attention because when we drive by on a Sunday morning, their parking lot is full. And if we drop in to worship, the sanctuary is usually packed to overflowing. So at a quick glance, we can walk away feeling like they've got it all under control. And so, as someone who often answers questions about why such churches appear to be doing so well and why we can't be that successful, I was somewhat pleased to hear firsthand that it's not as all as perfect as it seems. Now, don't assume that I'm just simply delighting in the fact that others aren't perfect. There's more to it than that. Robert Perry, in a book published by the Alban Institute in 2003 called Find Your Niche and Scratch It, says that it's great for us to get out there and see what others are doing in other churches. But the underlying message of his book is that when we return home, when we come back here, the goal for us is not to simply transplant what we see working out there, but to determine what will work best for us. He says, market-driven approaches to congregational growth involve being realistic about what a church can and cannot reasonably expect to accomplish. Every congregation, he says, is unique, and each one is uniquely gifted to accomplish the purposes of God in its geographic area and time in history. An important aspect of the effort to determine how a congregation can be most effective, he says, is to honestly assess the strengths of the congregation. I first read his book about 12 years ago, soon after it was published, and I've just been reading it again as we move into a time of strategic renewal here in our congregation. Because his words are a good reminder to us that we can't just copy what seems to bring success to others, but rather we need to identify our own strengths and build on them. Instead of thinking the grass is always greener on another church's lawn, we need to spend more time watering and fertilizing our own grass. I know some of you have had the chance to chat with John Ball, who is leading our renewal program, and you've had an opportunity to think about this church you call home. I think it's a good exercise for all of us from time to time to think about what brought us here, what holds us here, and what makes us most proud of this congregation. As a minister, I sometimes feel I have an advantage in that respect because before we say yes to accept a call as a minister to any congregation, we have pretty much prayed ourselves silly, we've done our research, And we've thought really long and hard about whether or not it's a place where we feel we can best live out our calling in ministry. I thought carefully before coming to St. John's. In fact, actually, I drove into the parking lot of St. John's about 20 years ago because you had an opening and I didn't even turn the car off. I turned around and drove out again. Now, don't ask me what it was that did that to me. But then when I had this second opportunity, I thought so carefully that I dug my heels in at first. I said I'd come for 10 months, and then I said I'd stay another year. And then I said I would apply for the permanent position, but that just as you would interview other candidates, I would also apply and interview other places. But I came back. I came back because I saw things here that I knew I needed and things I wanted to be both happy and challenged in ministry. I saw the opportunity to work in a team, and as difficult and challenging as team ministry can sometimes be, it provides the most potential for growth, both for ministers and for congregations. I knew I valued the music program here. I love pipe organs, and I love the fact that you care enough about music that you're willing to have section leaders and soloists. But also, you don't overshadow our volunteer choristers with professionals, which is a hazard, or could be, in a church. I also sense the very deep commitment to outreach, which for me is not only something important to my own faith, but it tells me that a church is not just focused on its own needs when it supports the Mission and Service Fund and local needs as well. And I love the kids, whether they're here on a Sunday morning at VBS or Messy Church. I love the energy and the faith perspective they bring. But what is it about this place that makes us uniquely gifted? How are we different from the other churches around us? What exactly is it that we do especially well? And you know what? I'm still trying to answer that question myself with clarity. And so as we enter this time of strategic renewal, we, the folk who, along with John Ball, will be diligently thinking about and bringing you some concrete ideas and plans for the future for your consideration, we want you to think carefully about what it is exactly this church does well. And what should be our focus for the future? How are we here at St. John's uniquely gifted, to use the words of James? James' warning in our passage today certainly can challenge us personally, and Kim shared some of those personal challenges with the youth this morning. And we talked a few weeks ago about the importance of cultivating our gratitude for things in our own lives rather than bemoaning what we lack. So we're not going to take this all personally today, these words from James. But as people who belong to a community, we do need to think about how to turn from thinking the grass is always greener on the lawn of some other church or denomination, to spending more time watering and fertilizing our own grass, celebrating what we have here and learning how to better market it both to ourselves, to our own people, and to others. I'm really excited about the year ahead. Somehow, I sense a new spirit of commitment and determination emerging as we meet the challenge of being church in a post-Christian world. Let's feed that positive spirit so that enthusiasm continues to grow and we find ourselves remarking over what a beautiful, luscious green lawn we have ourselves.